The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 14, beginning at verse... Oh no, it's chapter 20. Oh, I haven't changed that, have I? Chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. It was evening on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. So Pentecost is one of those extraordinary moments in that scripture that almost refuses to stay neatly on the page. We can feel the movement in it. There's noise and confusion, fire, excitement, fear, courage, and languages colliding together. People staring in amazement, and a group of ordinary disciples suddenly transformed into people who can no longer keep quiet about the love of God. It's vibrant and alive. You can feel it. It's something that's sort of visceral, isn't it? It feels less like a tidy church service and more like a holy interruption. And perhaps that's exactly what Pentecost still is, a holy interruption. Because if we're honest, many of us spend our lives trying to keep things manageable and controlled. We like predictability and routines. Well, if you're like me, you do anyway. I tend to like predictability and routines. It makes life a little bit easier sometimes. We like knowing what tomorrow will look like. Yet the Spirit of God in Scripture rarely behaves in tidy, manageable ways. The Spirit blows through locked doors and unsettles comfortable assumptions. It pushes frightened people into new possibilities and breathes life where everyone else sees only exhaustion or defeat. Our reading from the book of Acts begins quietly enough. They were all together in one place. It sounds calm and ordinary, doesn't it? But underneath that calm is a community who are carrying grief, uncertainty, and anxiety. Jesus has ascended. He's gone from them. And the disciples are waiting, but they don't fully know what they're waiting for. They're in the uncomfortable space between what was and what will be. Many of us probably know that feeling. We've had that times in our lives when we've been in that space between what was and what will be. It's the feeling of standing in the middle of change when the old certainties no longer hold us and the future has not yet become clear. Then suddenly everything changes. A sound like the rush of a violent wind fills the house, and tongues of fire rest upon them, and they begin speaking in different languages. Jerusalem at that time was filled with people from all over the known world, and somehow every person hears the good news spoken in their own language. This is important because Pentecost is not really about spectacle. It's not about God putting on a dramatic performance for effect. The miracle isn't simply the wind or the flames. The real miracle is communication. People who are divided by language suddenly understand one another. The Spirit creates connection where there was separation, and this matters enormously in our world. We live in a time when people often seem unable to hear one another anymore. Public conversation can feel harsh and a little bit broken and fractured. Social media tends to outrage and amplify everything. Political divisions seem to be quite deep at the moment. And people are retreating into tribes, and it's becoming very much us and them. Even within families and community, there can be misunderstandings that grow into silence and distance. Into that world comes Pentecost. And the Spirit of God still moves wherever people truly begin to really listen and hear one another again, where compassion becomes stronger than suspicion, and where human beings cross barriers that once seemed impossible. What strikes me about the disciples is they're not suddenly turned into superheroes. I like that. I like the fact that they weren't suddenly turned into superheroes. They actually remain ordinary people. Peter still has his rough edges. The others still have their fears and limitations. Yet something has shifted within them. Fear no longer has the final word. And this connects beautifully with our gospel reading from John. Because the disciples, when we hear in our gospel reading, are gathered behind locked doors because they're afraid. And then the risen Christ appears among them and says, "Peace be with you." Aren't they beautiful words? "Peace be with you." And then he breathes upon them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I love this image of Jesus breathing on them. It echoes the creation story in Genesis, where God breathes life into Adam. This is new creation language. The resurrection is not simply about life after death. It's about God beginning the renewal of the world here and now. Notice too how Jesus gives the Spirit not to perfect people, but to frightened people. The doors are still locked when he appears, and the disciples are still confused and uncertain. Yet Christ comes anyway. This should encourage all of us, because sometimes we sort of imagine that we need to be more before God can work through us. We think that we need stronger faith or maybe more certainty, fewer doubts. But Pentecost tells another story. God works through ordinary, anxious, imperfect people all the time. In fact, often the people most open to the Spirit are precisely those who know their own need and vulnerability. We can see this in the church across history. Again and again, renewal begins not with powerful institutions, but with ordinary people who become open to grace. A handful of frightened disciples becomes a movement which spreads across the world. Small acts of compassion transform communities. Quiet courage changes history. Perhaps we desperately need Pentecost again in our own age. We live in a world that's carrying enormous weariness. I don't know if you feel it, but there tends to feel it feels quite heavy, doesn't it, sometimes? There's war and economic anxiety, loneliness and ecological concerns. And many people feel overwhelmed by the sheer heaviness of modern life. There's a hunger for meaning, but also deep uncertainty about where hope can be found. Pentecost reminds us that God hasn't abandoned the world and the Spirit is still moving. Sometimes we expect the Spirit to become known in dramatic religious moments, but often the Spirit arrives in quieter ways, in a nurse who keeps caring despite exhaustion, in the teacher who believes in difficult students, in the neighbour who notices someone who's alone, in the person who chooses forgiveness instead of bitterness. In communities which welcome the outsider rather than fear them. And in conversations where people genuinely listen instead of preparing their next argument. The Spirit is all about new life. And one of the most beautiful parts of Pentecost is its exclusiveness. Peter quotes the prophet Joel when he says, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Not just some, all flesh. Not just religious leaders or the educated or the powerful. Sons and daughters, young and old. Servants and free people alike. The Spirit refuses to belong to one narrow group. And this is deeply important because religion can sometimes become a little bit tribal. Human beings have a habit of drawing lines around who belongs and who doesn't. We do that all the time. You're in, you're out. Yet Pentecost explodes those boundaries. Suddenly the good news is heard in every language. And I think this is one reason that Christianity continues to spread in so many different cultures around the world. At its best, Christianity is not about erasing human diversity, but sanctifying it. The Spirit doesn't make everyone identical. Thank goodness for that. The Spirit creates unity without destroying uniqueness. This is very different from the uniformity our culture is often demanding at the moment. So much of modern life pressures people to perform and conform and compete and present polished almost versions of themselves. Yet the Spirit seems delightfully uninterested in polished appearances. The Spirit cares about truth, authenticity, compassion, courage, mercy, and love. The disciples cannot remain hidden behind locked doors forever. The Spirit pushes them out into the streets, and faith becomes public. Love becomes active, and the Gospels become something lived rather than merely believed. This is still the challenge for the church today, how the gospel can be something that is lived rather than merely believed. Christian faith, the faith that we all share, cannot remain inside these church buildings only for an hour on Sunday. Pentecost calls us into the world with all its heartaches and complexity. It calls us to become people of reconciliation in divided communities. People of hope in cynical times. That's so important at the moment. People of compassion in a culture that can sometimes almost seem cold and transactional. And this begins the moment that we step foot outside the doors today. Sometimes we imagine changing the world requires enormous gestures, but often the Spirit works through small acts that ripple outwards in ways that we never fully see. It can be a kind conversation, a listening ear, a decision to forgive, a moment of generosity, a refusal, absolute refusal, to dehumanize the other person, a willingness to stand beside someone who feels forgotten. These things matter more than we realize. One of the tragedies of modern life is many people secretly believe that they do not matter very much. It's almost as if they feel invisible, replaceable, spiritually disconnected. Yet Pentecost declares something radically different. Every person, every single person is capable of carrying the breath of God into the world. Think about that for a moment. Every person is capable of carrying the breath of God into the world. The Spirit which raised Christ from the dead is not distant. It dwells within ordinary human lives, you, me, every single person here. exhausted parents. We've got an exhausted parent this morning. Grieving widows. We have a grieving widow. Stan passed away this morning at 1:30. So please keep Dorothea in your prayers and her family. Anxious students, uncertain disciples. The Spirit is already moving among us long before we notice. And perhaps the deepest message of Pentecost is this: God is not finished with humanity. Amen to that. Amen to that. Despite all our wars and division, despite our fears and failures, God continues breathing new life into the world. Again and again, the Spirit creates possibility where people see only dead ends. This doesn't mean that life becomes easy. As we know, the disciples still faced hardship after Pentecost. There will be persecution and sacrifice and struggle ahead. But now they know, without a shadow of a doubt, that they're not alone, and neither are we. The risen Christ still stands among fearful people, saying, "Peace be with you." The Spirit still blows through locked rooms, and the fire still burns. And even now, in ways both dramatic and quiet, God is still making all things new. The Lord be with you.